Don Solomons. If you don't know him, then you should show up here more often. I've known Don since, well, actually this song kind of reminded me as well. We sang this song when I was at Bible college in the choir, when we went around to the different churches and did our presentation, whatever it was. But that's where I met Don, and he's been a good friend ever since. So Lord, if you just come up and share what the Lord has given to you to let us know about this morning, Don.
We're progressive. I've said it many times, but it's a wonderful thing to be in God's family. And when you're in family, you should have a lot of laughs and joy and love in the Lord. And I'm really thankful that Jim is a good friend of mine, as well as it's a wonderful thing. Well, there's lots of needs, as we know. The prayer list doesn't get any shorter, does it? But we're thankful the Lord is sufficient for what we and our family members are facing. So let's pray for them. Pray for our children. We thank the Lord for each one of those little lives. I find a great joy in watching them run around, and then I find a great joy in watching their mothers run after them. So anyway, and I find even a greater joy that I'm not running after them. So anyway, let's pray. God, we thank you that you are awesome, you're wonderful, your grace is sufficient. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus, we can have salvation. Your mercy was enough. And Father, if there's anyone here that's never received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray that they might change today. They might come to put their faith in Him and Him alone. We pray that for each of our little ones in your time and their life. We thank you for them. We pray that they will be saved by you. They will trust Christ. Bless the Sunday school richly. And Father, we pray for those who are very ill, those who are struggling. We pray that they will sense your grace at this point of their life. We know that it's heavy on some hearts. Some of them are really struggling. We entrust them to your special care for your best. And Father, we do want to rejoice last night in the Hope Valley, just as mentioned this morning, Hope Valley. We thank you that that camp is there. We pray you'll protect it and bless it abundantly in the days to come, as you have in the past. We thank you. I thank you for each one that had a part of that ministry last night, their contribution to us. May you continue to bless that, and may the camp, may we as a ministry here, may we be a light of the Lord Jesus so that other people will see him and come in a relationship with him. Father, this morning we're here. You know how our journey's been this week. You know where our journey's going next week. And we know you're so sovereign, you're so over everything, that you have something to say to us through your word, not because of my thoughts, but because of your word. By your spirit, we pray that you will have your way in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen. A dear senior saint was looking through some pictures, and they looked at this one picture and they said, "Who is that old person?" Well, I hated to break it to them, but it was them. Now, have you ever asked that question? Now, I'm thinking, yeah, well, I'm not old. Well, we're not going there. But anyway, have you ever looked at your spiritual photograph and been confused about who you are, especially when maybe you've had a lousy week and you are embarrassed the way you responded to whatever situation you faced. Maybe it was what you said to a neighbor. Maybe it worse, it was what you said to your wife, right? Maybe it was the way you responded to your children. And you look in your spiritual photograph and you think, what is wrong? Hopefully, each of us here have put our faith in the Lord Jesus, and we know we have eternal life. We know we're saved, but we can't believe what we're seeing in our photograph. It's embarrassing, and it's disturbing. You know, Paul said, I do not understand. And he's talking about himself. I do not understand. Now, maybe you're there. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you will be there. Most of us, if we travel this way very long, we've seen that photograph. Now, let's go to where Paul took this photograph. Romans 7, we've been there, we return there. Paul has something, he's trying, he does a lot of work on this because I think he knows it's hard for us to get it. Romans 7, we've been there, I want to come to verse 14. Verse 14. Paul writes, as the Spirit of God worked in and through him, these are God's words, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. Verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Now, look at your photograph. Have you seen yourself there? I'm so glad Paul was honest. And sometimes we just need to be honest with ourselves. Now he starts, he says, for we know that the law, we've been talking a lot about the law, Mosaic law, Old Testament law. He said this, verse 14, it is spiritual. Now, if we were reading some passage, you might think, well, the law is all the problem. That's not the case. He said, it is spiritual. It's from God. It is in line with God's will. It is spiritual. But, it goes on. Paul's looking at that picture, I am of flesh. The New King James puts it this way, I am carnal. I'm carnal. Now he's speaking about himself, in my understanding, as a Christian. Probably early in his Christian life, we don't know exactly the pinpoint of time. He had a great start. You know when you get saved, you're so exciting, right? Remember back when you got saved? Maybe you're 5 years old. Maybe you're 16. Maybe you're 27. But you know you had this load of guilt. You were in deep trouble. And then it broke through to you that the Lord Jesus wanted to save you, and he died on the cross to do that. And you came to put your faith in him, and you thought, just as already shared, Mike shared this, you know, just like the white snow, right? The stuff is forgiven. All the junk is forgiven. You say, yes! And you say, then you think, man, life is so different now. I'm never going back. I'm not going to struggle with that again. And so, I think that's the way it should be. You know, you get excited, your great takeoff. You ever have a great takeoff and then you get up and then there starts to be turbulence? You have one of those? You thought, oh, I flew on the wrong day, right? Well, some of us has hit turbulence. Comes at different seasons. But if we're like Paul, we have or will hit it when things are just not working the way they thought they would. I am carnal. Speaking as a believer. Now, this word is sarkikos, that's not the relevant point. But one puts it this way, carnal, talking about this word. It is not used to describe an unregenerate person, but a Christian not delivered from the power of the flesh. Now, I want to go to a passage, because I think sometimes we don't want to think about this. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 3, where this word is used, this Greek term is used, and it's translated. I'm going to read again from the New King James because of the way it translates it, just so we get the feel for it. He's talking to Christians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read a few verses here, and he uses our term. And notice we walk in the door of verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. I, brethren, talking to Christians, okay? I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now notice that. These are brethren. Nothing wrong with being a baby. The problem is if you stay as a baby. Right? Isn't it wonderful you have a little baby? Oh, it's so cute, right? So cute. But you don't want, if you're raising kids or grandkids, you don't want them to stay in babyhood, right? I don't want to change diapers, you know, again and again and again. Let's don't do that. He says, you're acting just like babies. He's talking to Christians. Now, notice what he says. The problem wasn't they were, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a brand new believer. The problem is they were old enough to be at least a teenager. But notice what he says. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Why? For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. How do you know if you're carnal? Well, here's some possibilities to show it up. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal? Now, let's just think about that. No, most people don't say, well, I'm carnal. But let's think about the churches over a period of time. And I'm sure you've been to one, maybe you've seen them, you know, your friends will go to them. And believers there, genuine Christians there, but they're split. Fussing and fighting, nobody gets along with anybody. And even if they're, you know, not verbal, you know who does not talk to who. Right? I remember one time Marty and I were in a ministry involved with, we were just attending, I was in school then, and I remember a Sunday morning, and there had been several different things happen over a previous couple of months. And that Sunday morning, visual division. It was after the breaking of bread. That church just split right in half. And shortly thereafter, it just nosedived into non-existence. Were there no Christians there? Absolutely, there were Christians there. Were they mature? They were carnal. And these are some dear, dear people. But that's what Paul, this is the way Paul nails it. Now, obviously, that's just one area. But you're behaving like mere men, like you're not even a Christian. And then, of course, they were really pious about it. Verse 4, for one says, I'm a Paul. And the other says, well, you know, Paul's a great apostle, but I'm of Apollos. He's a great speaker. And then he says, are you not carnal? One says it, and defining this idea, he describes himself as carnal. Now, Paul's saying this about himself, and he's not talking about the Corinthians when he's talking in Romans. So this is the hard part for us to do. It's easy for us to talk about those guys, right? It's easy for us to evaluate somebody else. It's a lot harder for us to take an honest look at ourselves. And that's what Paul's doing. He says, back in our passage, and this person is describing what Paul's talking about. He describes himself as carnal, as a Christian living, however unwillingly, more or less, under the control of the evil nature. You ever find yourself there? Now, Paul goes on to elaborate. Sold, this is back in our passage in Romans 7:14, sold, this is explaining what's happened, sold into bondage to sin. It says that in the New American Standard. In the ESV and in the New King James, it says sold under sin. And that's a good translation, because under is this little three-letter word, hupo. It's under, sold under sin, under the bondage to sin. And the idea is of a slave. And again, you know, I can't get my head around what it would have been like to be a slave. But think, somebody had taken, basically hijacked, kidnapped a person in a culture. This was common in that day. They would kidnap a person in another culture. They would kidnap them, bring them into slavery. And they were just a piece of meat. They were just an object. They were lower than the low, and it didn't matter what happened to them, just what you wanted them to do for you. Sold under slavery to sin. See, he's saying, you know what? That's what I'm struggling with right now. I am one of those slaves. And the master is sin. And he's a Christian. See, I think, you know, just think how hard it is to face up to where we're at sometimes. Sold as a slave. Sold as a slave. One writes, it portrays the complete helplessness of his servitude to sin. Sin is a terrible master, isn't it? It wasn't very long ago. I was talking to a young guy. Probably 25, probably around there. He has been fighting addictions for years. Drug addictions. He said to me, he said, you know those 6-month programs they have? He says, that's not near long enough to break free. My heart bled for this guy, right? And you know what? In talking to him, at least from his, I think he's probably a Christian. I think. Only the Lord knows. But I tell you what, his life is a disaster. And you know what? It may not be drugs. You know, you can point to other people, oh, they got a drug problem, right? Well, I feel bad for them. My heart goes out to them. But you know, we got sin problems. You know, it may not be taking drugs in the dark alley of downtown Peterborough, but it may be gossiping about a brother or sister in Christ. And you know what? God is really concerned about that. You know, we may think we're getting away with it, but God knows. He's paying attention. And if you're honest with yourself, you don't want to stay there. None of us want to stay stuck under the master of sin. Because sin always does what's worst for us. It always takes us down the dark road and ultimately hurts us. It crushes us. That's why God wants to relieve us from sin. And Paul said, I was struggling under this ruthless problem of indwelling sin. Now notice, let's look at our passage again. In our Romans, notice 7 again, and I want to read verse 15. We read these words. For I am doing, this is how he knows he's in trouble. I am doing, I do not understand. I just don't get it. I'm bewildered. What's going on? That's not what I want to do. You know, think of the time you lost your temper. And you think, oh. And not at the moment, because you know when we lose our temper, I can admit to this, you know when you lose your temper, you feel so royally right, don't you? You feel, oh man, I am so justified in this moment. And then later you think, whoa, I can't believe I said that. God loves us too much to leave us there. And Paul is being honest with us. We need to be honest with ourselves. Notice what he goes on to say. He's really trying. He's struggling with himself as he's expressing. And I think he's opening a door for us to face ourselves. And he says, for I am not practicing what I would like to do. Now, what I would like to do. One version says, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. What I will. Determined resolution. Now, just think for a second. I can't believe we're already in the middle of February, but it wasn't very long ago we stepped right into January, New Year, right? We're not taking any notes down, but how many had a resolution when you stepped into January 1, and it didn't make it till January 5, right? Maybe even 3. Paul said, I will. I had this resolution. I was determined. And notice, this is a very interesting passage, because in Romans 7, and I'm just going to read some verses again from the New King James, because it translates this word will, thelo, several different times, but it always translates it will in this version. So I want to read some of this, just to show you the struggle of his resolution falling apart. Notice Romans 7:15, and I'm not going to read every word. I just want to highlight where it says, I will. What I will to do, okay? What I will to do. Verse 16, I do what I will not to do. Didn't want to do it. Dropping down to verse 18, to will is present with me. Resolution. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, want to do the right thing, the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will, I do not do. That I practice. Verse 20, if I do what I will not to do, this again kind of, you know, sounds like a game here, right? The game show of I will. Verse 21, I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills, determines, is resolved to do good. It keeps falling apart. There's a willingness, there's a resolution, there's even a determination. And one puts it this way, Christian living is far more than a determined exercise of the will. Now don't get me wrong, there's a place for our will. A choice as we make, that's important. God's given it. We're creating His image, we're created with will. But that's not enough to live the Christian life. Again, you look at that photograph. Now, don't look at your neighbor's photograph. Look at your photograph. Look in your album. Do you see some places where the I will is not working out so well? I would think most of us in this room have not got up in the first of the week and thinking, I wonder how I can make somebody's life miserable as possible. Right? That's my goal. Some of you think your spouse, that was their goal, right? But you think, no, that was not. We didn't intentionally start the week to mess up somebody else. We just did it. It just came natural. What I will to do, that I'm not doing. Paul is being blatantly honest. Notice verse 15 again. But, this is a very strong adversative. But I am doing the very thing I hate. Now, don't lose the strength of that. The very thing I despise. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you despise? I'll share one of my despising things. I hate rats. I do. I was raised on a farm. I know what rats look like, right? Right? Oh, it's a gross thought. I remember we'd come in the farm, let's say we were working late at night, and shine, you just say the lights of the head of the pickup truck would shoot across the front of the barn. Everybody was spreading, right? All the rats were running. I hate rats. I hate them. Believe me, I'd rather have a rattlesnake than a rat. I really would. Yeah? Well, I even had a white rat bite me one time in college. They go everywhere and they're looking for me, right? You hate these rats. Ah! Do you hate sin that much? What about it? Well, it's kind of fluffy. Sin's kind of, you know, let's pat it. You know, well, yeah, if you want to move in, right? We can make it a pet, but it's more dangerous than a rat. Paul says, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I hate what sin's doing to my life. I hate what sin's doing to my relationships. I hate it. He's frustrated. He's trying to pull off the Christian life, and he's not pulling it off like he wants to. At this point, it's all about I. One wrote, the apostle is picturing a believer possessed of a new nature, attempting to live a godly life in his own regenerate strength apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not there yet, but Romans 8 is going to lay out how we can really pull this thing off. But before we get there, I think it's so important for us to face ourselves in the photograph. Why? If we don't face our need, we're never going to look for God's solution. In our, you know, let's say, you all look great, right? You all look great. I'm the only one that's got the tie. Well, Jack, thank you, Jack. We got the tie, right? Don't we look spiritual? With our little fluffy tie. You know what? That doesn't tell us the depth of our problem. We can hide by a fluffy tie. We all have a sin nature. We've got to figure out how to deal with this thing. It's not being, you know, well, don't you know, we're all a nice group of Christians. Yeah, you are a great group of Christians. But we all have a sin capacity within that can destroy us. Destroy the people we love around us. I've seen it happen too many times. And you know what? Ever go to the Rockies? I love the mountains. We used to go to the Rockies. I love the mountains. But you know, you go, and I remember as a little kid, one time we stopped just to look. And I was just looking. I was so enamored. I was probably maybe 12 years old. And I was just walking. I just stopped myself. I just about walked off the ledge. Some dear Christians are just about to walk off the ledge. They'd never tell you because it's embarrassing. God wants to protect us from taking that fall. But failure is reality. We need to face our struggle. Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. The problem is not the law. So now notice what he says. Now is no longer I the one doing it. Now let's try to get our heads around this. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Now, we have to think this thing through so we can see ourselves in the mirror properly. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became a new creation. It's an amazing thing. Awesome thing. New creation. I'll just read the passage to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. And sometimes people take that and think, well, you know, I'm never going to have a problem again. We believe in perfection. It's not working out so well. What it is talking about, I as a new person, as a new creation, when the Spirit of God came in me, when I have a new nature, that I, there's still a problem, because with me, the new creation, I still have a sin capacity that has not taken a vacation. It's not going to take a vacation. It's not going to be gone until I'm with the Lord and I have totally new resurrection body, which I'm really looking forward to that, right? But until then, we have got to realize that we got this monkey on our back that we have to deal with effectively, or it's going to deal with us. And Paul said, and he notice what he says. Listen to what he says. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, because he has a new nature. He wants to do the right thing. But sin, which dwells in me, that sin capacity still goes with us. You see, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Yes, we're a new creation in Christ. That's wonderful. Our sins are all forgiven. Judicially, it's all taken care of. But practically, relationally, getting through this life, I still got to deal with this monkey on my back, the flesh. Now, it's not a hopeless situation, but if you don't understand the principles and understand how to look at the photograph, you're going to be so frustrated and so discouraged. Paul is trying to help us see the way it really is. He's trying to clear up the view of who we are. Yes, we're a new creation in Christ, but we still have the sin capacity. If we don't get that, you know what's going to happen? I mean, it can go a number of different ways. One of the ways we can do, we can become super hypocrites. We know we're not doing well, but we pretend we're doing great. We're playing a game, and we're losing the game. Guys, just don't be a hypocrite. Paul says, I'm not a hypocrite. I was messed up. I was failing. I was tumbling. He's allowing us to be honest with ourselves. We're in family. None of us are perfect. But by God's grace, we're saved if you trust in Christ. And by God's grace and His mercy, we can learn how to live with this flesh thing so it doesn't push us over the edge. You know, the other thing, we can be a hypocrite, or we can just be so discouraged if we don't get this right. I remember a dear, dear person one day. They were just sobbing. I mean sobbing. And they were worried, I'm not a Christian. I don't think I'm a Christian. Well, everything I knew about that person's life, they were a Christian. Their faith was in Christ. But they had this struggle going on. And they were so discouraged. They didn't know what to do. Who am I? As they looked at their photo, spiritual photograph. They were so beat up. You see, you need to know. You need to know the truth so you're not a hypocrite, or you're not so discouraged you just want to give up. How many dear Christians are not here this morning because they just gave up? And they didn't understand God's provision. Yes, they trusted Christ as their Savior. They think they're saved. They hope they're saved. But they don't know how to walk the walk, because they've never looked at the photograph carefully from God's perspective to know that there's still sin within. And I got to learn how to deal with that. I got to learn how to live with that. The great thing is, God's made the provision. We already talked about some of the provision in Romans 6. Absolutely awesome. We're in Christ, dead to sin, alive to God. Count that to be true. Hold on to that. That is so true. And when we go to Romans 8, we see the Spirit of God makes that practical, makes it more and more progressive, makes it more and more real in our day-to-day. But today, this morning, what we're doing is we're trying to take a look at ourselves and be honest. I don't got it all together, because I still have this sin thing within. God wants us to be honest about that so we can really begin to get from His vantage point. and make the most out of this journey through life. But we got to be real. We got to be real before the Lord, for ourselves, and with those around us. May God help us look at the photograph and get the perspective He has on it. Let's pray. God, I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. Love us so much that Christ died. You do love us beyond. God so loved the world. It's amazing. But Father, for those of us who are on journey, those of us who trusted Christ, some of us are going to hit a wall, just like Paul did. And we can be the hypocrite. We can play the game. Nobody knows what's happening in our heart until it's too late. God, protect us from that. And God, protect us from being so despondent, so discouraged, so beat up that we just give up. God, protect us from those extremes. Help us get it from Your vantage point so that we can see the sin within, but we can live above it and deal with it by Your grace and through Your Spirit effectively. God, help us. We pray in Jesus' name.